Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a sign of the times. It seems that if you're aged 45 plus now, you're over the hill. That's the age when your employment options start to shrink and all those young guns start to shove you aside. The outgoing Age Discrimination Commissioner, Elizabeth Broderick, is well used to dealing with issues like this, and much to her surprise, she learnt that by 45, with all that experience and skill, age becomes one of the greatest barriers to your work life. Be interested in your thoughts or experiences on this. Post on our Open House Community Facebook page or give us a buzz on 1300 40 20 20. Are you in this category, 45 plus over the hill? If so, how do you feel about it? Maybe you're 55 and you've seen this happening more and more. What's been your experience? And is this a process you see or expect to see continuing? So maybe in a few years, it's the 40-year-olds who are over the hill. Give us a call, 1300 40 20 20, or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. This is all a bit of a challenge for Elizabeth Broderick personally, because she's stepping down from her role as Commissioner at the age of 50. She joins us tonight on Open House. Elizabeth, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Lee.
What made you realise that this dynamic was underway in our workforce?
Well, it's interesting because when I first came into the role of Commissioner responsible for age discrimination, I remember going to an initial briefing and I sat there, you know, studiously looking at the presentation, and there I saw the words mature age workers are workers 45 and over. And I think I might have known that before. It hadn't hit me before because I was 47 at the time, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh,
how confronting. Yes. Were you shocked then?
I was shocked. Yeah. I mean, because I became more shocked, I suppose, the more I immersed myself in the research and also got out and spoke to not just older people themselves, but businesses, unions, academics. And it became clear that from 45 onwards, your age becomes one of the greatest unaddressed barriers to you continuing in paid work.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about older people. I take it you're not talking about over 65s, but you're talking about over 45s.
That's right. And we're talking about, I suppose, a point in your working life when you feel you're just kind of getting into your stride. I mean, that's exactly how I feel.
Yes.
But because of the fact that we live in an ageist society and we bring those ageist attitudes into our workplace and we start really applying wholesale stereotypes across groups of people based on their age. So, for example, we might say, oh, you know, there's someone that's 50, 55, and the research suggests that if you're a woman over 45, you know, one of the stereotypes we apply is that you're too opinionated.
Oh, really? You've got no right to an opinion. So why is it happening, do you think?
Look, it's interesting. I do think it's happening because part of it is, I think, generational labelling has a bit to answer for, Lee. Generational labelling, that is, you know, baby boomers, veterans, Gen Y, it can be useful to help us understand the socio-political backdrop that someone's grown up in. But where we've taken it is, and we now start to apply wholesale characteristics across groups of people based on their age. I mean, if you look at Gen Y, we'd say, oh, you know, a group of unreliable, you know, maybe, you know, want the CEO's job right at the beginning, that type of thing.
Yes.
Some will be like that, some won't. And similarly, when we get to older people, we say things like less energy, you know, can't be trained, too opinionated, no good at technology, those types of stereotypes. And, you know, what I'm saying is we need to look at people based on merit.
Because they start to stick. Can you tell us some of the real-life stories you've encountered where age has been this kind of barrier, 45 plus?
Well, just even recently we had someone come into the commission to complain that they'd just applied for a job. It was a guy who was just the other side of 50 on the internet. And that he'd heard, I mean, he thought he had good experience and education. He heard back that, no, he wasn't going to be considered for the job. And you can imagine his surprise when a couple of weeks later he received erroneously an email which was meant for the recruitment consultant, but which said in relation to his application, it said, sounds good, but I think a bit old.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, that's exactly right.
Is it part of this amazing rate of change we're seeing in our society today that people 45 plus are perhaps more and more failing to keep up?
Yeah, I think we are seeing a fast pace of change, and just technology is one of the drivers for that, globalisation and other things. But the other thing we're seeing is a significant ageing of a population. So we know that in 2009, 11% of the population was 65 and over. By 2056, I think it is, it'll be 23%. And if I look globally, by 2050, there'll be 2 billion people over the age of 65. So this is a global phenomenon. But the fact is, we need to start to really combat those groups of stereotypes that people hold about others just because they're someone of that age, because we need all people, if they choose to work or want to work, to be able to go into workplaces which value skills of older workers as well.
Yes, and their kind of collateral experience over all those years. But at the same time, society needs to change its attitudes. But do those people over 45, 50, 55, do they need to get it that they need to be more flexible and adaptable in the workforce today?
Look, I think, the first thing that each of us needs to understand is, you know, how flexible or adaptable or opinionated or whatever it is that we are, it starts with us. And yes, we are working in a, you know, as you say, very rapidly evolving and changing world, and there are certain attributes which will help us in that world, such as a willingness to continue learning, so lifelong learning, for example, those types of things. But I do think also, Lee, we need to start calling ageist behaviour. So, and I just noticed it in my own family. My dad, who's 81, he, from several years ago, started saying to any of us, if anyone made an ageist comment, he'd say, well, where's the evidence for that? And just saying that a couple of times, it made us kind of think about things which, you know, otherwise you might think are acceptable to say. And so I think we need to start calling in our own family those ageist comments. And then if we all did that, that would lead to some kind of wholesale change around ageism.
A healthy corrective. In terms of globalization, which you mentioned before, if you're a boss, are they going for the younger people who they think can be pushed harder and faster? That's probably going to be a younger person rather than an older person.
Well, that's what they're saying. We need people who are hungry. Energy is an attribute that's associated with young, not older people. And, you know, some young people will be energetic, some won't. Some older people will be energetic, some won't. It is quite interesting, though, because if I was to go into a job and they say, oh, look, Liz, terrific skills and experience, but we were looking for a man, I'd say, no, look, that's not right. That's unlawful. But if I go in and they say, great skills and experience, Liz, but see, the thing is, we're a bit of a younger team around here, then I'm more likely to accept that as an okay statement. And in fact, Lee, that's probably thinly veiled age discrimination.
Yes. Do you think it is a process that will continue and be a threat earlier and earlier to those who are listening, who are perhaps in their 20s and 30s feeling quite comfortable, but they might be over the hill at 35 or 40?
I know that'd be a depressing thought, wouldn't
it?
But I'm hoping that once we start, and to start to build a more vibrant social movement in this area as well, just a little bit like the women's movement or some of the other movements, but if we start to really take up the challenge of appreciating people irrespective of their age, and so combating ageism, I'm hoping that people will be able to be valued and in paid work till whatever age they want. And for some that might be 80, for others that might be 50 or whatever. This idea of retirement age maybe will start to move away, and what we'll be doing is delivering choice and control back to the individual. That's where I'd like to get to, Lee.
Liz Broderick, you've fired a very important shot. Thanks so much for joining us on Open House. We wish you all the best for your 50s.
Thank you very much, Lee. I'll be doing my best to combat ageism.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.